Okay, well, Happy New Year. This, alongside every new year for the church and the Christian calendar, we talked about it last week. For those of you who weren't here, this was our visual, right? That our calendar begins here. That this is the first Sunday. This, along with every year, is like a fork in the road for our faith. As we walk through the circle of the church year, the calendar that remembers us as the body of Christ, one to each other, as we meet and eat together each Sunday of the year, we embark on this year with an opportunity to resolve to enter into this story, God's story, to bring our full selves, or to come with half our butts. I hate half-butted things, personally. So I would personally like to invite you into coming fully into this year. New years are always like this, right? We approach them with fresh anticipation. They are opportunities to enter freshly into our lives and to think deeply about them. But like I shared with the kids last week and all of you, that if we don't take time to get ready, then we will walk right past the great mysteries of our year without even knowing what is there. And so it takes time to get ready. And the routine, the going through the motions, the just general busyness of the season can make us miss God's presence among us. And God has been good to us in the past and is really with us in the present. And I was talking with a spiritual director a couple of weeks ago that kind of shared with me this, like, what I thought was an amazing idea. She shared this idea that all of our stories that bring us meaning, the ones in our sacred scriptures, the stories of the places that God shows up for the people, how we create our understanding of who God is through these stories, that in a way, the way that space and time work is that we can almost perceive them as happening still, right now, in this moment, just in a different spatial reality. As if God's presence is present to all of time, all the time. That there is no past or present or future, but that God's presence is there with all of it. And I think that that is such a powerful idea, that all these things that have happened are actually happening now in the moment. And if we think about it that way, then in this way, the circle of the church year, hey, welcome, so glad you made it. In this way, the circle of the church year is not a reminder of our story, but it actually can be an incarnation of our story. Our history is not a reminder about what God does and what we do, but rather it can be a description of what God does and what we do. Our practices and traditions aren't habits and hobbies, but reincarnations of God among us. And so, if God is with us, if faith is living, if God is active, if all of this is a present reality, then Advent is ever present. Just like everything is ever present. Armageddon is ever present, and Eden is ever present, and exile is ever present. And our whole story is less a tale to tell and more a trail to traverse. And each season is an opportunity to grow in connection and community with God and with the people of God in fresh new ways as we focus together on a true and authentic part of our life and this path. And so the question that presents itself is, what part of life does the season of Advent tap into? What part of being human does the season of Advent call forth in us? What real living experience is Advent calling us to pay attention to? If we only pay attention to the cultural marketing of this season, then our greatest hope is either to get some really cool things we want, or maybe it's just to make it through the busyness of the season without dying. Or maybe it's, and I think this is true for some people, it's like a really cool distraction from life. It's kind of a magical distraction that helps us kind of escape our life and give us a high that will get us through the rest of the year until it comes again. And maybe it's a little bit of all of these things for you. Maybe, you know, because more than one thing can be true at once, can't it? And more than one being true brings me to our Isaiah passage reading this morning, the reading that the church has assigned to this Sunday, the reading that is being read all over the world by the church this morning to help the people of God enter this season. And so I want to look at it just a little bit closer. And I'm going to read it for you one more time. And this time, I want you to listen for the feelings and for the experiences that it evokes. Think, wonder with me, what this passage has to say to us this week as we prepare to enter this year. What clues it gives us about what the season of Advent is calling us into. Isaiah says in chapter 64, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard. No ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. You were angry, and we sinned. You hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. So what did you hear in this passage? What feelings or experience? Not gentle. Which thing in particular is not gentle? Most of it, yeah. Tired. Wonder why the church assigns this passage at the beginning of Advent. It's like the time, it's the season that we have to get ready for Christmas. So Advent is like the coming. So the coming of Jesus being born into the world. Good question. I feel as though that Advent can be a little bit misunderstood, as if it's this God-ordained season to put up Christmas trees and bake cookies. I feel like we can easily walk through this season without even knowing what is here. And this third author of Isaiah has something to say about our feelings and our faith as we enter into this season. Isaiah's vivid imagery can be a kind of wake-up call to a domestication of this coming of God in our midst. It is not a gentle baby, very unthreatening in a bed of very unthreatening hay. But Isaiah prays, "Rip open the heavens and come down." He wants to see, to hear, to experience God. He's referencing the way that God came at Sinai in darkness and thunder and fog and fire. The visual imagery isn't safe, but it's scary. It's fire, boiling water, trembling. "Come," Isaiah says, "we need you. Come, be present." There is this living communal prayer of hope that God will come and save us, and there is this faith within the prayer that God's coming will actually be good news. That though it might be scary because it will change everything, that we still desire this coming. That even though we ask for the coming, immediately in verse 5, you see this total switch. You see this switch to almost this fear of what that coming will be like. And it becomes this communal confession of sin. The hope that God will come again and the faith that God is good, but also the fear and the confession. This passage's genre is like a communal lament. It asks where God is now, even as it quickly turns to a confession of communal sin. And it makes me wonder if our Advent experience should be marked by this confession of communal sin and this crying out for deliverance and God's presence. There's this quote that I really like about how basically our prayers and our hopes are not too great for God, but they're actually just too small. It ends by saying that we are much too easily satisfied. But Isaiah is not too easily satisfied. He wants God's salvation, God's coming, to be obvious. He wants a theophany. He wants it to be perceivable by our senses, by our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds. He wants God's coming to be alive, to be embodied, to be experienced, to be known. Advent is a season of complaining. But not that you're too busy, but rather that God is not here. That there are parts of our lives and our cities and our world that are still God-forsaken. That the things that exist in our world feel outside of the reign of God. Murder and poverty and war and human trafficking and the climate crisis are out of control. Where are you, Advent asks, in the face of cancer and anxiety, in the face of behemoth corporations that ravage the earth? Act, God, Advent demands. And I think in our own way, we sort of domesticate Advent, because what are our candles named? Hope, love, joy, peace. What about that? Advent says yes to those things. Those are what happens when God comes. Advent says yes to them in a kind of ironic way, with lenses of faith alone, because that is not what we are experiencing right now. But that is what we want to experience. And that is what we do experience when God comes with healing in her wings, with recovery, with restoration, with justice. They are the things we say in faith, but not by sight. They are ironic in this season. They are faith affirmations. Before relief comes and before salvation comes, we must face our communal sin and brokenness. We must petition God in acts of faith, in laments. We must bring the injustices of the society in which we are a part, like the prophet Isaiah does. We must name them. Though they threaten to overwhelm us, though they threaten to take the magic of Christmas out of our eyes and to keep us from the distraction. What are the sins that the people of God have to confess today? Have Christians grieved the Holy Spirit by proclaiming judgment and hate on a God who loves those on whom we proclaim judgment and hate? Those who look differently than us, those who are foreigners or immigrants, the LGBTQIA community, Republicans, whoever, who have we judged and hated that God loves? If God comes, what comes to mind that you, that we might start confessing? How might we suddenly feel that we haven't lived up? How might we suddenly feel that our lives must change if a holy God was to come into our midst? And because more than one thing can be true at once, we can both fear God's coming and our own inadequacies that it raises in us, and we can hope for it. Do we have hope that God is good, that God will act, that God will come and rescue us, redeem us, and all of creation? Entering into Advent, entering into this season, isn't about adding more things to do, but letting yourself be hurt in solidarity with those who are hurting. Entering into Advent is joining with the voices, the historical but present voices, of this choir of the faithful who are complaining to God to do something about this. Entering into Advent is embodying a strong and seemingly illogical hope that God is good and God cares about our cries and will come again and again and again to save us. This season, there is a real opportunity. If you are brave enough to enter into pain and hope with nothing to show for it, nothing but our story of God's faithfulness and of our own faith that our God is the God who cares and the God who comes, the God who is coming and the God who came. Let's pray. God, you are the God who comes. You are ever present with your people. Even when we experience your absence, we know we don't know everything. We aren't getting everything right. But the problems in our world are not ours to solve. They are yours. And we cannot be saviors. You are. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Be the savior our world needs. Meet each pain and tear with your healing presence. We pray. Amen.